message is the resurrection is true. Starting in verse 1, we'll read through verse 8. Paul the Apostle is speaking here. He says, "Now, brothers, I want to remind you of the gospel I have preached to you, which you received and on which you have taken your stand. By this gospel you are saved, if you hold firmly to the word I preached to you. Otherwise, you have believed in vain. For what I have received, I passed on to you as of first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he appeared to Peter, and then to the 12, and after that he appeared to more than 500 of the brothers at the same time, most of whom are still living, though some have fallen fallen asleep." Excuse me. "Then he appeared to James, and then to all the apostles, and last of all he appeared to me also, as to one abnormally born." There are two major events that Christians celebrate more than any other events in the history of Christendom: Christmas and Easter. Christmas is the day we celebrate Christ's birth, and is a holiday that the world is quickly trying to capitalize and commercialize and move God out, trying to say that the real rationale is to show gifts and our love for one another, without really realizing that Christmas is the greatest gift that was given to man. The other is Easter, and by far Easter is the most important. It's because that Christ died on the cross. He was buried in a tomb, and he rose again. And the most important symbol for us is the cross, for which Christ took all our sins, the sins of the world, that we may have life with him forever and ever. Sometimes in this life we tend to forget what our condition was before we came to Jesus Christ. And Romans 3:23 says that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And because there's a payment that has to be exact, Romans 6:23 says that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ. The gospel constantly challenges us and reminds us of what we were before and who we can be in the future. It tells us that nothing that we can do can earn God's love or his free gift. It's all by God's grace. And only by faith can we satisfy what God has already provided for us. Any sacrifice that we offer to God is insufficient, because we're just imperfect people. We can't earn our way into heaven. God has already provided a way for us to come and take that. And for us to have faith in Jesus Christ is to realize that he was the perfect lamb, and that he is the perfect sacrifice for all our sins. Romans 3:25-31 says, "God presented him as a sacrifice of atonement through faith in his blood. He did this to demonstrate his justice, because in his forbearance he had left the sins committed beforehand unpunished. He did it to demonstrate his justice at the present time, so that to be just and to be one who justifies those who have faith in Jesus Christ. Where then is the boasting? Is it excluded? On what principle? On that principle of observing the law? No, but on that of faith. For we maintain that a man is justified by faith apart from observing the law. Is God the God of the Jews only? Is he not the God of the Gentiles too? Yes, of the Gentiles too. Since there is only one true God who will justify the circumcised by faith and the uncircumcised by faith. Do we then nullify the law by faith? Not at all. Rather, we uphold the law." You see, through the cross, it reveals to us the love of God. He saw our condition, and he saw how we tried to struggle to win favor with God. The truth of it is, That's what His grace is all about. It's unmerited favor by God. It's not receiving that which we should receive, punishment. But He took our punishment. And He died on the cross. And His last words were, "It is finished." There's nothing more that we can do or add to the work that Jesus did except believe by faith and receive it as our own sacrifice. The cross exalts God for His wisdom by revealing how awesome His grace is towards us. God supplies the answer for every man to be saved, and He has supplied everyone a measure of faith in which to exercise to be saved. The onus is for us to activate that faith. The cross reveals God's plan of consistently working at our salvation, first through the Jews and then for the rest of the world. It reveals the heart of God to reconcile the world to Himself through faith in Jesus Christ. The cross reveals God as just and justifier, in declaring that whoever activates their faith in Jesus Christ is found not guilty. Because Jesus lived a total sinless life, He became the perfect Lamb for us. We have become justified by God's grace and not of our works. Yet to believe in God is good. And I hear this all the time. I believe in God. Well, the demons believe in God too. And they tremble in fear knowing Him. God requires something more than just us to believe. He requires a commitment of faith. He requires that each one of us demonstrate that commitment through living for Him. That includes in repenting of our sin and being rebellious to His will. He requires faith that the cross is enough to satisfy His righteous requirements for salvation while believing in the truth in our hearts. And He requires us to confess Jesus as Lord and Savior so that we can be saved. The resurrection of Jesus Christ, the empty tomb, solidifies a place for all of us who put our faith in Him. You see, His resurrection was just not something to happen. He is God. And we must be mindful of that. He's the only one that can do the things that He does. And our hope is that as we commit to Him and commit our lives to Him, that we too will raise one day from the cross, raise one day from the grave, raise one day to be with Him. If you don't know where you stand with Jesus Christ, if you're not sure, I invite you today to make your commitment to Jesus Christ. Not just say you believe in Him, not just say, yeah, He's around, but make an honest commitment to Jesus Christ, acknowledging your sin before Him, asking to be forgiven, repenting of your sin, and living for Him. Jesus is quick to pardon. Jesus is quick to save. If you don't know that you're going to heaven, if you're afraid of death, if you have no peace within your own being, today is the day. As the Bible says, today is the day of salvation. Do not miss your opportunity. Jesus rose from the dead so that you may live, because He is eternal life. Amen? Father, we just thank You, Lord. We thank You for Your resurrection, God. We thank You for Your promises to us, Lord. God, we just bless You and thank You, God, that we could come to You as a people that was not a people. But now You call us by Your name. You call us Your very own, Lord. And we thank You for that, Father. God, if there's any here that do not know You, that, Lord, that they would make that commitment to believe in the heart and confess with the mouth that Your word tells us in Romans 10 that we shall be saved. God, I ask that You bless Your people in this Easter day, God. I ask that You bless them richly. I ask, Father, that You also bless our breakfast, God, and those who are preparing it. Father, I ask that You bless the activities for our kids, God. But most important, God, I pray we bless you in living in love and unity. In Jesus' mighty name, amen and amen.